the Skyline Studios above Columbus and Wacker Drive. Hey, it's Friday. Happy Friday to you. Anna DeVellante is here on WGN. 1 to 2 today. Then we've got White Sox baseball, as Steve is pointing out in the news there. Gee, you think we've got enough stuff going on in the news today?
I'd go for a little baseball.
Ooh, I would too. I would too. I would too. I was saying before, I was looking for some fun things to talk about today, and we found a few, and so we will get to that. But let's see, we started the day today with the CTA crime combat program. You saw they're trying to crack down on crime. We've seen an uptick in crime on the CTA, and so the mayor and the police chief, interim chief superintendent, I should say, Charlie Beck, got out there. They took to the podium, unveiled some plans for that. Then you saw the governor and Mayor Lightfoot talk about the coronavirus, kind of updating the plans. They had that other news conference a few weeks ago to talk about they're prepared, and now announced some new things. I don't know about you, Steve, but I found it interesting that they're doing some, they're beginning these voluntary testing. Are you just going to show up and say, hey, check me out? I guess if you've got signs or symptoms, I suppose you should call your doctor first.
On balance, I think it's probably a good idea, but I just wonder who, like, someone texted that Rokhan's probably in line already.
Probably is.
I mean, you know,
the hypochondriac that he is.
It's going to bring out a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
I think.
That's what you wonder. And then on that subject, though, the positive thing I heard was that Illinois is one of only three states, that the CDC says has the proper testing capacity to test for the virus, delivering results 24 hours. We were the first state to have that, and only three states right now have that. Other states are sort of scrambling to get up to speed. I know California's got a bit of an issue.
Yeah, I don't know if we got that on our own making or if the federal government shared that with us. Do you know?
I don't know the answer to that. I just know they are touting it. You saw the governor talk about it in that news conference today, how we have it. You can produce results within 24 hours right here in state.
I mean, remember, we had the first two cases in the U.S. too.
And that's the other important thing to remember. We had two cases, and there still are just two Illinois cases. Both people have been treated, and both have made a full recovery.
And so, you know, I'm trying to put this in perspective or understand it myself, to be frank. But, you know, so we had the woman who came back here from China,
right,
who had it and gave it to her husband, right?
Mm-hmm.
But there was a time when she was out and about.
I thought they said in that news conference weeks ago when the mayor spoke of that case that she did limited amount of moving around.
Okay.
She was really with her husband at home mostly, had not gone to big parties
she wasn't out to the stores
or on the CTA.
Okay.
Or, I think they had said her movement was pretty minimal. I know that's, you know, it seems strange, but that was one of the points that they did mention. They focused on that.
Well, it's significant. I mean, because they're worried about this woman and her other person in Northern California and where he or she may have gone. I don't know if it's man or woman, but.
Right.
I don't know. I do feel like we're, I'm trying to strike a right balance here. You know, talk uh-huh. about preparation, but not become a fear monger because, you know, I think I just saw there are 34,000 cases outside of China in the entire world,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is growing, but there's a lot of people in the world.
Still small. Yeah,
yeah.
It is. And I did get a good sense from our officials today. They're on it. They're communicating with schools and county buildings and public buildings across the state. And, you know, they're setting up a number of things to sort of, you know, kind of make sure that they're ready to deal with whatever the circumstances are.
So right. That's what you got to balance where you have to, you know, tell people you're prepared without
mm-hmm.
scaring them.
Yeah.
Right. That's what they're. And I think Lori Lightfoot's walking the line pretty well there.
I do, too. I think she struck the perfect balance there today with her messaging to everyone. And then what else is going on? What else? The markets. Oh, gee. A couple things that caught my attention. The drop in the market. I don't know where we are now, Steve. If you've got
922.
922. At one point, wasn't it close to 1,200? The Dow had taken a
1,200
dive.
Yesterday.
1,200. So what was the high or the low for today?
I think it was over 1,000, but it's sort of a repeat of yesterday in that it tanked early, recovered a bit, and now as we get into the afternoon, it's starting to drop down again to its session lows.
We pulled some audio from Orion Samuelson, because none other than the Big O, I always listen to him at times like this because of his depth of knowledge and breadth of knowledge, but also his time covering these kinds of things. And he did say today, earlier, if it was on John Williams' show, I think, in the news, I can't remember when the VIX, the volatility index, was this high.
Right.
So much so that he tagged out his business report twice today with this comment. I found this interesting.
And for the moment, just the moment, That's your money on 720 WGN.
I love that because his hip been moving around. Really has. Volatility is the name of the game. But then listening to the Wintrust Business Lunch that we did, you hear CNBC's John Najarian? He was on. And his message, he's a Chicago guy, but a very smart money guy. Been trading for many, many years. And, you know, but he's a TV guy, too. But he was saying something sort of positive. He said that he's now noticing money moving back into the market. Big institutional money is buying because some of these stocks, and he mentioned Microsoft specifically, but some of these stocks that they're looking at are at such lows that they haven't been able to find them at that low. So they think it's a buying opportunity. I don't know. Searching for something fun on this Friday. A little challenging, as I pointed out, but here's something. So we're setting our clocks forward. That's a good thing. Spring forward. And tomorrow is Leap Day. To celebrate Leap Day, a lot of stores and businesses have these Leap Day deals, and that's pretty cool. Olive Garden take-home entrees will be $2.29.
Wow.
Isn't that great? That's like a dinner, $2.29. They've got the five cheese ziti, al forno, spaghetti with meat sauce, fettuccine alfredo. So there you go. And then they've got Stella Artois has a $366,000 Leap Day fund. So if you buy a 6-pack or a 12-pack or 24-pack, you can apply for a rebate by March 6th, and it keeps going until they've got the $366,000. That's another one. Krispy Kreme, they've got a new delivery program starting tomorrow. They start delivering donuts right to your door. That's dangerous. And then new parents, doctors, nurses, and hospital staff at hospitals within 10 miles of a Krispy Kreme. If a baby's born tomorrow and you post it and you share with the Krispy Kreme, at Krispy Kreme, then you can get, they'll deliver you free donuts. I think that's a pretty cool thing, too.
Not a nice way for the baby to start.
Really?
Licking a donut?
Well, you got happy people around you.
Right.
That's a good thing. And then Garrett's Popcorn. I should not forget about this. They are also offering a free upgrade from small to medium tomorrow for Leap Day.
Oh, that's what explains the line outside.
Did you see one?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, but there always is one.
I know.
I mean, then this one is just going to be even longer. Buffalo Ranch is their new flavor, so they've got that's included. I haven't tried that yet, but it should be good. Should be good. Okay, so we want to get to some other news going on. As we mentioned, there is a lot going on among the many, many things that happened across the city and state today. We'll bring you up to speed here. Mayor Lightfoot and the interim superintendent, Charlie Beck, they were talking about combating CTA crime. Some new initiatives, some really interesting things to share. And then also we want to talk about the coronavirus and what happened with that news conference. We've got Heather Sharone from The Daily Line with us after this. Spring forward next weekend, I should say. Thank you to our listeners. Daylight saving time doesn't start till Sunday, March 8th. So that's next weekend. I meant to say it's right around the corner, so I'm looking forward to it. I might have instead said it's this weekend. It's not. It's next weekend. Thank you, listeners, for reminding me about that. All right, been a busy day for state and local leaders, and also been a busy day for reporters who are covering state and local leaders. CTA crime news conference, and then the coronavirus news preparedness conference, talking about what the city and state are doing. Heather Sharone has been covering it all. She's managing editor, City Hall reporter for The Daily Line. Hey, Heather, you taking a breath, a little bit of a breather?
Yeah, a busy Friday, for sure.
Yeah, how about it? So can we start with the coronavirus update? Because we were saying that it does appear that they're presenting plans that do seem ahead of other states, and that they're managing this well, it appears. And they're reminding people, hey, we're prepared, but there's no reason for us to panic about anything.
That's right. That was the message from Governor J.B. Pritzker and Mayor Lori Lightfoot. We're in control. Everything's fine. Take common sense precautions, but there's no need to panic. And the only two people who have been diagnosed with coronavirus in Illinois have made a full recovery, and that there is no reason to panic.
Great. Let's hear a little bit of that. We have Mayor Lightfoot at that news conference just a couple hours ago. Here's a bit of that.
I think we're well situated in the event that anything happens. Keep in mind, so far, only two reported cases in Illinois, and both of those cases were handled very well. They were quarantined, received the hospital treatment that they needed, and now are in full recovery.
Yeah, so they were answering reporters' questions and just kind of addressing all angles of it. I find it interesting they're doing voluntary testing at a few of hospitals. They want to kind of get some stats or something. Do you understand what that's all about, Heather?
That's right. It's part of the preventative measures that are going on. So, for example, if you fly into O'Hare, you might be picked to be screened, especially if you're coming from some place like Japan or Italy or Iran, where the virus is more widespread. And what they're doing is they're taking people's temperatures. They're making sure that you don't have any obvious symptoms of the illness, just to be on the safe side. And that was a really different message than we heard from the Centers for Disease Control earlier this week when they testified in front of Congress and basically said everybody should be prepared for a major disruption to their lives. And that brought a pretty sharp retort from Mayor Lightfoot earlier in the week, who said everything's fine, there's no reason to panic, and that she didn't really appreciate what she called sort of a warning that would be unnecessarily alarming to some people.
Yeah, I can see how she felt that way. And they did not sound alarmed. In fact, she even said there is no cause for alarm. I think that's a direct quote from her today when she addressed the crowds there. And she's like, hey, guys, you know, we're thinking through every possible scenario here, making a plan, and we're presenting it to you. I know they have a lot of information on the city website. I know there's a lot of information. I just checked on the governor's website, on Illinois, the governor's website, illinois.gov. And so you can check out stuff there. There's also a statewide COVID-19 hotline that was unveiled today. At least I didn't know about that before. Had you heard of it, Heather?
Right. No, that was new today, along with the news that there will now be 3 statewide testing locations, so that if there is an outbreak in Chicago, that there would be a dedicated lab for that, as well as another in the sort of the center of the state, and then another downstate near St. Louis. So the state was really trying to make people relax and sort of say, look, we know that this can be frightening, but we are marshaling all of the state's resources, so maybe everybody should take a deep breath and just wash their hands and not worry too much.
Right. So that hotline is 1-800-889-3931, 1-800-889-3931. We'll try to get that posted to WGNradio.com so that you have that as well. And the other thing that stood out also was this idea that our state has this testing ability that meets the CDC guidelines for what we would need should there be a potential for it being more widespread. And it just seemed as if that was also kind of comforting to know they have this sort of 24-hour ability to test, return the results, and let you know on a pretty wide-scale basis.
Right, and that is, I think, Illinois is relatively alone in being able to sort of operate its own testing. There, of course, have been concerns about other tests that have been used and maybe weren't measuring exactly the right thing. So that was another thing that the governor and the mayor wanted to reassure people, that they are accurately measuring whether that there has been an outbreak, and that they are, and that there hasn't been.
Right. And they also said just continue as you're doing, like as you would prepare for the flu, do a lot of the same things, the hand washing, the cleaning the surfaces, stay home if you're sick, because that helps a lot too, just even with the flu, which, again, far more widespread than all of this. But let's move on to the CTA crime situation, because it really feels as if these are new measures, and I had not heard of these kinds of things before. It certainly seems like they were necessary, what they're proposing, given the recent uptick in crime. Tell us about some of the things. We saw the mayor and the interim superintendent for the Chicago Police Department, Charlie Beck, talk about what they're doing to combat these unacceptable numbers of crime on the CTA.
Well, the first thing they're doing is they're assigning 50 new officers starting March 4th to patrol the CTA. And they wouldn't tell us exactly, if there were dedicated train lines or bus lines they would be focusing on. But that's a significant increase in the number of officers that are assigned to patrol the transit system. And the other thing they're doing is that they're setting up what they call a strategic decision center, which is basically a hub for analysts and engineers to review all of that surveillance camera footage. So if you're on the out, you are on camera somewhere. And this center, which is similar to centers that have been set up in police districts across the city, will allow analysts to look at that surveillance video footage in real time and hopefully deploy officers quicker if there is something that's an issue, or they'll be able to use that to figure out who's responsible for an incident. And those are both two initiatives. And once those officers are deployed, you won't see the SWAT teams that you're seeing right now. So I take the blue line downtown every morning, and I shared a train car with the very heavily armed and flak jacketed SWAT officer this morning. And those officers will be sent back to their regular duties once the additional officers are deployed. So much like the coronavirus, this was an attempt by the mayor and the leadership of CTA to say, look, we understand this is an issue. We know that there have been issues, but we are marshaling all of our resources to assure people that the train lines and the bus lines are safe, because this is a system that carries millions of people every day.
Right. Let's hear from the interim police chief here, the superintendent, Charlie Beck. He had I like this comment. He had to say this.
I think that the thing that I have seen that binds people of Chicago together is mass transit. And to have a mass transit system that people consider safe, that they want to use, that they look forward to using, is really important to me personally, and it's important to the Chicago Police Department.
Yeah, they're identifying that idea that you need to feel safe on public transportation. It's part of what makes the city works. It's part of what brings us together, and it's part of what gets everybody to where they're going. An important thing to do for sure. 32,000 cameras they talked about that are currently in and around CTA platforms, and as you pointed out, Heather, they've got that real time monitoring in that tech room that they've set up. They're going to be monitoring around the clock with the crime analysts and the other a detective. I think they said as well would be monitoring and looking at this kind of thing. I guess
that's right.
Should make us feel more comfortable.
Well, this is a solution that was, or I guess I should say a strategy. We don't know yet whether it's a solution, but this is something that was started under former Mayor Rahm Emanuel when you saw the big spike in crime on the south and the west side starting, in 2016. And it was really an effort to use technology to multiply the ability of officers to react to ongoing incidents and to address crime. So this is an extension of that strategy and an application of it to the train lines and the bus lines in a way that we haven't really seen before.
It's, I know they have predictive analytics in the police department trying to almost predict where the next thing would happen when there's one shooting. Sometimes another will follow, a retaliatory kind of thing. Or if a group is trying to rob people, they may move down the train line or move somewhere nearby, and they can track those kinds of things and hopefully prevent things before they happen. Because I think that's the complaint I hear from people who ride the CTA lot. It's more of a reactive thing and not as proactive as it needs to be. If something happens to you, they're there. However, if you're involved in something, you'd like there to be more of an immediate reaction to help prevent it from happening in the first place. Which, if an officer is there, as you point out today, you saw him on your ride in, that can happen.
Absolutely. And this also has big impacts on the city's tourism, of course, because, the city encourages people to fly into O'Hare or Midway and take the blue line or the orange line downtown and sites. And if the CTA gets a reputation, fairly or unfairly, for being something that's not safe to ride, you could start to really see that have an impact down the line on hotel stays and festival visits. And it's not the type of thing that the mayor wants to be known for presiding over.
Right,
because
it's a big deal.
That's the type of thing that can really sort of thwart your ability to get really anything else done, because people have to feel that, sort of base level of safety when they're trying to get to work or to school or wherever they need to go.
No question. Heather Sharon, thank you. Always good to hear from you, managing editor, City Hall reporter at The Daily Line. Thanks, Heather. Have a good weekend.
You too. Thanks, Anna.
Here's a surprising stat for you. 36% of people in the U.S. now have a side gig. Are you one of them? From driving rideshare, being a virtual assistant, selling stuff online, that kind of thing. A lot of people are doing it, not just millennials anymore. In fact, the older, over 40, is the fastest growing sector for side gigs, the side hustle. Do you have one? What is it? And if you feel like telling us, how much do you get doing it? And would you recommend what you're doing? We're going to talk to one person here in Chicago who is doing it. She loves what she's doing. She's going to tell us all about it next here on WGN. Anna DeBlantis here on WGN. Happy Friday. It's 1:32 on this Friday. And Haley Bobolink is here in studio with us. She lives in She lives in Humboldt Park. She loves 80s music and 70s music. That's why we're just playing the Smiths there, because that's one of them, the song she loves. And it's you collect vinyl records. This is like a hobby and a passion for you, right, Haley?
Yeah, I've got about 2,000 right now, so just a modest collection.
2,000. When did you start?
I started about 6 or 7 years ago.
Okay, and that's quite the collection. So are you picking them up online and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I always had a hobby of going to garage sales, estate sales, things like that. So yeah. I would pick them up here and there, and all of a sudden I had so many.
We're talking about side gigs here, and this is Haley's side gig, so we're going to get into some of that. If you have a side gig, let us know. 312-981-7200. That's the number to call, 981-7200 in the 312 area code. And, you know, tell us what it is, and do you like it, and, it, you know, how's it working for you? So, Haley, yours obviously working well. Or that's why you're here, because you do love what you're doing. You're selling vinyl online.
Yes, that's right. I sell my records on Mercari. Just my duplicates or ones that I find don't really fit my style.
Okay. Hard to let go of some of them?
A little, but it's I sell them individually, so it's nice to know that they're going to people who really love them.
Yeah. And then this is, so you are, okay, so you're... You have a full-time job.
Yes.
And this is totally a side hustle. It started out as just, hey, I'll pick up a few bucks, or how did it all come to be?
Yeah, it mostly started out as making space for more more records, but it kind of grew. I've sold over 100 in the last year, made about $1,500 so far.
Wow. That's a big deal. Did you expect that would happen?
I didn't expect to grow so quickly, but it just came naturally, and I found that I really enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm. So here's interesting. 36% of workers in the U.S. now currently have a side gig. The gig economy, when we first started talking about this a few years ago, it seemed like it was millennials like you, because you're, what, 20?
28, yes.
You're 28. And so you heard a lot about millennials saying, hey, I've got this job, and that's how I'm making it work, and that's how I'm paying my bills. And now you see more and more older Americans are doing things and more likely to have a side gig, just as likely now as somebody in the millennial category. Or the Gen Z, the Gen X category, I should say. So a lot of people do things, and yours is selling stuff online. You can sell just about anything online, like, right? You can sell things that you don't want around your house. You can repurpose things, or you can do what you said, go to garage sales and pick up stuff and then resell it.
Yeah, some apps are focused on one thing, but the one I sell on, Mercari, you can sell practically anything on there, handmade items, electronics. My boyfriend recently sold his laptop on there a couple
really?
Weeks ago. Yeah.
He wanted to get a new one, or he wanted to just...
Yeah, he saved up and got a new one and was able to cover some of the costs by selling his old one.
What a cool thing. What a great idea. So then it's just... And then if you're picking things up at garage sales or yard sales, things like that, you're getting them for, what, pennies?
I wouldn't say pennies.
I don't know how much vinyl goes for. I know that it's hot and people love them again, getting vinyl records and collecting them. It's a big deal. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't imagine what most garage sales would sell them for.
Yeah, I usually pick them up for a dollar or two a piece. It's a little bit of a gamble because you can't really test a record to see how well it plays until you take it home. But it's a gamble I like to take.
Is there what you can fill? Are you good at like filling them and creating, like, you're getting rid of the scuffs on the album covers and things like? Do you have to do some of that work too?
Yeah, there is a bit of a process to cleaning them and making sure that they're good to go.
The list of side gigs here, we've got the virtual assistants. There are now a lot of ways to be a virtual assistant from home. You can be teach English online. VIP Kid is one place to do that. Flipping furniture or things around the house, kind of like what you're doing, and selling on sites like eBay or Mercari. You told me something interesting about eBay. It's a little bit harder to sell if you're just starting out.
Yeah, I found that on eBay, buyers are a little more hesitant to purchase things from people who have not that many ratings. So it's hard to start out on eBay if you haven't been selling for years and years or had a grandfathered account. Mercari, it's easy because they verify you. You can take a picture of your driver's license and they do a background check and everything. So it's just one way of putting buyers' minds at ease.
And it's Mercari, M-E-R-C-A-R-I.
Yes.
Mercari. All right, let's talk to Bill. Your wife has a side gig. Hey, Bill, happy Friday. Go ahead, you're on WGN. I think we got Bill there. Do we have Bill?
Hello.
Hey, Bill.
Hello.
There you are. Happy Friday.
There I am. I was talking to myself for a second. I didn't know me.
You practice.
Yeah. My wife, she thought about it forever with Poshmark selling clothes,
mm-hmm.
and she started it up probably about a year and a half ago, and she does very well. It's more of, you know, didn't want to consuming a lot of her spare time, but she probably devotes, let's say, 5 hours a week or so.
Okay.
And then I would say she averages about $1,200 to $1,500 a month coming in, and the money spent to buy items is well less than 10% of that.
Wow. That is such a success. And what was the site you mentioned?
Poshmark.
I haven't even heard of that, but that's where you sell your clothes that you don't want anymore or you think could...
Yeah. She finds stuff at Goodwill that still has tags on them, and or over the summer at garage sales, and takes pictures of it, measurements, probably 10 pictures of each item, and then puts it on there, and then has had pretty good luck. And then for myself, I started cutting lawns again at 49.
Wow.
I've discovered that people are willing to pay money for something they really don't care to do.
True.
And I really don't mind it. And it's just basically walking distance from my house. I have close to 40 accounts.
Man. And when did you start, Bill?
Oh, I started about 3 years ago. So I run from about May through October, just cutting and edging. I don't do fertilizing or anything like that. And that's all that people want. They don't want to bother with it. And takes me about an hour, and I make a quick $40.
That's awesome. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. That's a great idea. Both of those things. You know.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bill. We were talking about the kinds of options there are now. Walk Dogs, PetSit, sell on Shopify. There's another site. Rideshare driver is one you often think of because you see so many Uber drivers. I think there are 100,000 or more than 100,000 in the Chicago area, metro area, of people who are rideshare drivers in some capacity. Some people don't do it that much. Rent out your car. There's actually places you can rent out your car now, and freelance writer, work as a virtual assistant. I said that one. Here's something, too. Private music lessons, if you have that ability, but even knitting instructors, $30 an hour for private lessons, up to $100 teaching group lessons. So many options out there. Haley, do you find that a number of your friends are finding side gigs?
Yeah, I think more of them are definitely getting into it and just exploring the possibility. Another thing I do is embroider and cross stitch, and a lot of my some of my friends who do that as well sell some of their patterns online.
Wow, that's interesting. We've got one here. Clinical trials from the 815 can be a good side gig, getting paid money to help bring drugs to market, if that's what you want to do. Any problems you've ever had with the selling of the vinyl? Do you actually make contact with the people, or how does it work? Is it just like on Mercari? Is it just like eBay? You send it off to them and bye-bye, there it is.
Yeah, so Mercari is shipping only, which is really nice. Some of these apps are local, so you have to run around the city meeting people. But Mercari, you just ship it through the mail. I actually just came here from the post office after dropping off a record. Then you don't get paid until you get rated, but once you're rated, you're paid. So it's good to, you know.
Oh, so it's kind of on the person who buys it to receive the item and then say, hey, this was good. It all was good. Thumbs up. And then you get paid.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good system. Mm-hmm. I like that because there's sort of an assurance there that it all works out. Even though you said they check the person's background and they know that you're you and they've got your information in case things don't work out.
There's a lot of ease of mind in that. But I have had a lot of conversations with people who've bought their records, just telling me about things of concerts they've been to. Like, I remember seeing this band in 86 opening for Def Leppard. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Those are just conversations I really like to have with people. Sometimes they ask me for recommendations on albums that they would like based on the artists that they're looking at.
That's kind of the fun around it because it's your passion too. You love music, and so that's the perfect side gig.
Yeah, absolutely. And I try to dress it up a bit. I do a review of each album as I put it up in the description, just to give people a sense of what the music is like.
Again, 36% of workers now have some sort of side gig, way to make money, whether it's a passion or something else. Just, you know, you're mowing lawns, just like we heard from Bill. 312-981-7200. Let us know what your side gig is. And it's such a growing area. You know, like I said, it was mostly millennials, but now so many other people are doing it, Haley. And it's really cool that it's working out for you. Thanks for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it. If people want to find out if you're the site you're talking about, do you know where they go?
They can download the app or go to Mercari.com.
Mercari, Mercari. Haley Boblink, and then how can they find you and all your albums if they go to Mercari, if someone's interested in vinyl? You've got quite the collection. I'm looking at it here, from like $10 to $20 roughly, a couple higher than that, but most of them are are, you know, pretty, still decent prices.
Yep. All you have to do is search for Vinyl Records. My shop name is Ominous Synths.
All right. Thank you so much, Haley. Thanks for sharing. More to come here on WGN Radio, including coming up, we've got something kind of fun as we get you ready for White Sox baseball to be carried here on WGN. Okay, we want to have some fun talking about your teeth. And you might say, how is that possible, talking about your teeth? How is that fun? But because going to the dentist is certainly not fun, but talking about teeth can be. And we have a game, a quiz. You can play it. You can win. It's called Which is Worse? We're going to look at the food and drinks, real very popular, common food and drinks, and figure out which ones are worse for your teeth. Coming up here on WGN 143 on this Friday. Anna DeVlantis here on this Friday afternoon. 146 is the time as we walk you up to White Sox baseball here. Game time 2:05, so 2 o'clock, top of the hour. We'll hear the news and then get right into White Sox baseball. But right now, there'll be no news. We're going to get right to White Sox baseball at 2 with a little bit of pregame. The dentist is in, and now normally not fun to talk to a dentist because normally you're sitting in a chair, Dr. AJ, and you're like, you're asking me questions. You're like, this is not fun. Just get it done with. There's like, really, it's not pleasant. I don't think so. But you are very pleasant, and your name is Dr. AJ Esierno.
Correct. Yep.
Did I get that right? Okay. Thank you. And you are with Decision One Dental Partners, one of the larger growing kind of dental practices in our area. And that's pretty cool. So it was the Tooth Fairy. It is Tooth Fairy Day today. And I was just reading something in the news a couple weeks ago about how the kids are really pulling off some great things these days with the amount they're getting for the average tooth in America.
You know, it is definitely going up. Inflation for the Tooth Fairy has gone up tremendously.
I heard it's like almost $3 a tooth, which sounds high to me. Is it what do you have the number?
I would say the first tooth that you lose is way more than that.
That's
true. I would probably say $10 to $20 you're getting on the first tooth. But, you know, as the novelty wears off, the Tooth Fairy kind of says, hey, you've already gotten a few dollars. So it tends to go down a little bit.
Is a molar worth more than the other teeth?
Actually, the front teeth are going to be worth more because those are the ones that are going to come out first.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, that's right, because those are the first ones are the ones that you get the big bang for the buck there.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's good. That's really good to know. And we also want to talk some other fun facts about your teeth in general.
Yep.
And we have a fun game to play, so we need someone to call 312-981-7200, play this game. It's called Which is Worse? Which is worse? And that's the title we came up with, and it's basically which is worse for your teeth. Is it this or this, or there's some true and false? It's all multiple choice, true and false. Very easy to do, and surprising answers. So we have six questions, and if you get 4 out of 6 correct, then you win. And what do you win? You might ask that. $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet. So much more than kitchen cabinets. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. $50 gift certificate. 312-981-7200 if you want to play and answer these questions with Dr. AJ. That'd be really cool. So, Dr. AJ, what are you finding in terms of like any little factoids you can give us that would help us all do better at taking care of our teeth?
You know, the technology in dentistry has really increased tremendously. So electric toothbrush, if you're not using an electric toothbrush, then you're probably behind. It is an amazing piece of technology. And now artificial intelligence is being brought into the new toothbrushes.
How does that work?
It maps your mouth. It maps your teeth. It tells you how well you're doing and where you're missing. It's pretty phenomenal. The technology has really gone crazy.
Is there one that you would recommend or a number?
Sonicare, Oral-B, those are the two big ones right now. But there are so many that are coming into the marketplace. Mm-hmm. There's even electric toothbrushes, kind of like Dollar Shave Club. There's this Quip that you can pay for, and you get the brush heads every month come to you, just like your shaving kit that comes every month and ready to go.
What's the difference, would you say, between doing the electronic one versus just the old, good old toothbrush? What are you noticing?
Anything's better than nothing, but electric toothbrush is so much better. I mean, you see a complete difference from the gum tissue, health of the gum tissue, from the amount of bacteria that's in your mouth. I mean, it is
Can you tell right away when you see a patient who's using the electric one versus...
Hands down.
Really?
Yeah, hands down.
I remember when we were little, we used to hit those little pink tablets, and then you wash it, and you see where you would actually brush and where you didn't. And if it was pink, you didn't brush well. And I remember seeing all pink everywhere. It was really kind of an interesting way to say, oh, I'm not really doing this well.
We still have those and we still use them. Actually, there's something really cool out, charcoal toothpaste. Kids love it. You know, they brush with their charcoal toothpaste. It turns their mouth black. And actually is really good toothpaste.
All right. We got to get to the game, I'm being told by producer Jasmine, because otherwise we're going to run out of time because White Sox baseball. So who do we have on the line? We need one contestant. And so we've got Gus. Oh, no. Who is it, Jasmine? Who's our contestant? We got Bob. Bob from where? Wheeling. Bob from Wheeling, you are our contestant, our first contestant. You got to get 4 out of 6 right, and then you win this prize. What was the prize again? It's a $50 gift certificate from Builder Supply Outlet. So much more than kitchen cabinets. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. We're here with Dr. AJ Asierno of Decision One Dental Partners. So he's going to give you the answer. I'm going to give you the question. Bob, are you ready for the first one?
I'm ready.
All right. Which is worse? Which is worse for your teeth, red wine or white wine?
I got to go with red wine.
Dr. AJ.
Bob, the answer is white wine. White wine has more sugar than red wine, and you can always get stain off your teeth with a little whitening.
Oh.
There you go.
Because the white wine's got more sugar.
Got more sugar.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob, you still have time here. You got 5 more questions. What's worse? What's worse for your teeth, cheese or pasta? Cheese or pasta, Bob?
I'm going to go with cheese.
Bob, the answer is pasta.
Oh, gee. These are tough. These are tougher than you think.
You got some starches in there, so they'll cause some sugar and breakdown in your teeth.
So the sugars and the starches and that kind of thing. Because you think cheese because it sticks to your teeth.
Cheese, red wine. You're so far in good shape.
Okay. All right. How about, all right, Bob, here's the third one. What's better, apples or oranges? This is what's better. So not to be confused with what's worse. What's better for you, apples or oranges?
Apples.
Bob, you are correct.
Yay!
Yes.
You got it. Why are apples better?
Apples create saliva in the mouth, and oranges are very acidic. So just like lemons and other grapefruit, you do not want to use those type of acidity too often.
All right, here's a toughie. What's better, tea or coffee? Tea or coffee, Bob? Bob, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What do you guess on that one? Which one's better, tea or coffee?
Tea.
Bob, you are correct.
Yay, you've got another one.
And the reason why, mostly coffee gets into your tongue, it sits on your teeth, causes mostly bad breath, you know, and those type of issues. So
tastes so good, though. It really
is very
does.
Good. Mm-hmm. I'm not giving it up.
Mm-mm. Just got to brush extra. All right, you're doing well here, Bob. You're on a roll. True or false, you should brush your teeth immediately after you finish drinking something that could harm your teeth, like alcohol or sweets?
True.
That is actually false.
Why
Bob.
Is that false?
So
I
you
think
want
it's true.
So once something hits your teeth and they start to soften the enamel on the teeth, you do not want to go ahead and start brushing on that. You want to go ahead and wait 30 minutes and then brush it off. So it's too soft at first. So once the acidity or any of the sugars hit your teeth, it'll soften it, and that's when it's. So you want to wait a little bit.
All right, final question here: true or false, Bob? White bread is bad for your teeth.
True.
That is true.
Woo.
Yes, that is true, because white bread sits on your teeth a lot longer, and then it's made of flour, and it'll break down into starches, and then simple sugars. So,
Bob, you got 3 out of 6, and so you're getting the prize anyway because you're a good sport. And this was super. That was a lot harder than I thought. I mean, those questions. There were a couple tricks in there, Dr. AJ.
That's right.
$50 gift certificate is yours, Bob from Wheeling, and it's to Builder Supply Outfit. So much more than kitchen cabinets. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. Congrats, Bob. Thanks for playing. Thanks for playing the game.
Thanks,
Bob. Thank you.
Dr. AJ, just round us out here and tell us anything else we should know that we're probably not doing with our teeth, because that was surprising, some of those things.
No, I think the major thing when you're talking about this stuff, be careful for acidity. You know, acidity in foods.
Yeah.
Although we like it and all that, a lot of the healthy foods that we eat are very acidic. So you just got to be careful.
What comes to mind?
Some of these protein drinks that we're drinking, a lot of these energy drinks that we're drinking.
Yeah.
So anything with the carbonation and stuff like that will cause some damage to the teeth. Doesn't mean you can't drink them. Just means wait 30 minutes. Use some great toothpaste, use an electric toothbrush, and you're going to be in great shape.
Awesome stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming in on National Tooth Fairy Day, and for whatever that's worth. But this game is a lot of fun, and just good hearing from you. Dr. AJ Asierno, Decision One Dental Partners. Where are your where can we find you?
We have 31 locations.
Oh, my gosh.
Decision One Dental Partners. Yep. DecisionOne.com. And we are there for you. We're a relationship-based business, and basically all our offices are community dental practices.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks, Dr. AJ. AJ. Good
Thank
meeting
you. So much. Appreciate
it. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Mm-hmm. More to come here on WGN Radio as we get ready for White Sox baseball.